Hey guys, this week, Wade and I carve out our Mount Rushmore of female vocalists. Coming up on the Music Box.
What's going on, everybody? This is Wade. I'm here with my brother Jimmy.
Hey guys.
Welcome to the Music Box podcast this week. This week we're talking about our Mount Rushmore of female vocalist singers.
Oh man, it was brutal this week, man.
Totally. I feel your pain.
So hard.
There is so much that we can talk about, and so much we don't have any idea where this is going. We know we've got 8 singers between us that we're going to get on our Mount Rushmore. That could be the same. That could be opposite. We have no idea. But first of all, I want to take the time and thank you guys for listening to the Music Box podcast. Our audience is growing by the week. Actually, it continues to get a couple more listeners in here. And do us a favor. Share it with your friends. Talk about it. We're not doing this to be famous or make it money or anything like that. We literally just like to talk about music. And so we're available on Google Podcasts, on Breaker, on the Anchor app, on we still haven't been approved for Apple Podcasts yet, which I don't know why. I need to email these people, see what's going on. But wherever you listen to podcasts, man, like it and share it. Excuse me, we appreciate it very, very, very much.
Absolutely.
Sweet. What's been going on with you this week, man? You good?
I'm good. Life is busy. Things are good. The transition of sending a child off to college has been a challenge at times, but it seems like everything's going really, really well there. I'm super excited for Trey and for this new page in his life, and it's just good times now.
Yeah, it's you totally have to be selfless at that point.
Yeah,
because selfish parents would want their kid to always be at home, but
the ultimate goal, fly, man. Yeah, the ultimate goal, I suppose, of parenting is to have a functioning adult when you're finished. And you know, we're working on that. Trey's not 100% there yet, but he's well on his way. He's a good dude, and I'm proud to have been a part of his life up to now.
Me too, man. Even the small part that I was, it was awesome. He is an amazing kid. We went to dinner with him and his girlfriend before they left, and he's a good kid, man.
He's a good dude.
Kudos to you and my sister for making such an amazing child.
Well, I'm not sure how much credit I can take for it, but he is truly an awesome individual. I'm super happy that when I call people my son, he's one of the people I get to call that. So.
Yeah, you got another good one coming too, man.
Yeah, that will. He's cut from a different cloth, but you know, at 15, he's a pretty good dude too. I'm super proud of him. He's working hard. He's coming to find out who he is as a person. So it's fun to see that, and a little bit terrifying, but yeah. So far, so good, right?
So far.
Knock on wood.
So good. I think God's got his hands on all that.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about
it. So, well, let's dig in. The Mount Rushmore.
This was so hard, Wade.
I know, man. So we talked about this right before we left last week, and we're like, what are we going to do? And I started digging, and I just didn't have to dig very far to know who I thought. Now, these are our opinions, right?
Oh, absolutely.
These are our opinions.
Yes.
But then I started thinking about, honestly, what makes a person worthy of Mount Rushmore? On Mount Rushmore, we have 4 presidents.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Were they all presidents?
Yes.
Is Franklin on there? Benjamin Franklin? I can't remember.
No,
look that up real quick. I think they were all presidents. We should have done our research on that. We were thinking about music, but those people were influencers from their day to today. Okay? So some of the people that I started thinking about when it comes to music are influencers today. I don't know if they're going to be around in 50 years.
That's true. Yeah.
And so when I started thinking about some people that were fantastic in their heyday, right?
Yeah.
Are they still able to do that today? So that allowed me to eliminate some of the people that I thought should be there because they were fantastic singers.
Right.
From the late 80s, early 90s or something.
Yeah.
Can they still do it today? So that was kind of my criteria and the approach that I took to it.
Right.
Is it a lasting voice? That's the thing. That's
one of the things about this is, what approach do you take? Do you try to pull people out of different generations? Do you try to take people from different genres of music? Do you know what I mean? There's so many variables that could go into that. To narrow it down to four, you're going to have to leave some incredible people off the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some incredible people. By the way, Mount Rushmore, all presidents.
All presidents, okay.
Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln.
And Lincoln, okay. Roosevelt was the one I was missing. So, but those people are influential in the shaping
right.
of our country, and we still know them and talk about them today, and the things that they did are still applicable today.
Relevant, yeah.
Yeah, they're still relevant today. And so I tried to think of that, because if we're talking about Mount Rushmore, that's the thing. So also, excuse me. I had a lot of different people in mind, but one of the main things that I used to help me come up with my Mount Rushmore is as a musician. Okay, so we live in like the American Idol, The Voice, America's Got Talent, all these talent shows and things that are back in the 90s, it was Star Search. I remember watching Star Search.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
It was like a huge thing. So it's always been around. But there are specific vocalists that you don't sing.
Yeah.
You don't try.
Right. Yeah. No.
And don't try Mariah.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do it.
No, it's totally
true. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of used that in my process of elimination too. Like, right. Who are the people that you either have to have pipes or some crazy amount of talent to even try it?
Yeah.
Okay? And then I went back to, so who are those people that we're talking about? So that kind of gives you a little bit of my process. What was your process and your thinking?
You know, I went all around the world. I tried just my favorite singers. I tried try to pull somebody out of different genres. I tried try to pull somebody out of different decades.
Yeah, I did that too.
You know what I mean? There's just so many things. And when you get to that Mount Rushmore, it's like, you know, it's probably a list of, I probably ended up with 15 names.
Yeah, definitely.
Minimum.
Yeah.
That I've narrowed down to 3, and then the other 12 I'm just going to randomly pick from when I get to
the end.
We're
going to make a mosaic of the fourth person?
Yeah.
Of all 12?
Exactly. It's going to be like, we're going to take all of their faces and meld them together into one hybrid super singer.
Amazing. And they all their voices come out at once, and it sounds like Bart Simpson probably when it's done.
I don't have a cow, man. I have no Bart Simpson voice at all.
Me neither. I sounded like a cow, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what that even was. Now. It sounded about as much like Bart Simpson as I don't know what.
Well, do you know that Bart Simpson's voice is actually done by a woman?
I did know that, yeah.
Interesting enough.
That's probably the longest running television show in history, but I don't know that for sure.
Man, we're going on 30 years of The Simpsons.
That's crazy. But, you know, the cast never ages, so.
The cast never ages. It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
So you can do absolutely anything you want to do.
And it's always relevant.
Yeah. What a genius. I love Family Guy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I know you haven't seen Family Guy. Or did you start watching
it? I watch Family Guy periodically.
Oh.
The boys like it. It's on TV every once in a while when I get home from work.
I love Family Guy. Yeah.
Family Guy's good stuff.
It is one of my favorite shows.
Let's do this, man. Who's the first head on the Mount Rushmore?
So here I go again, overthinking this. I'm thinking, who's Washington? Who's Lincoln? Who's Roosevelt, who's, you know, and I just had to stop because then that could have been way too difficult and way too hard.
Yeah.
I'm going my first person on Mount Rushmore of female vocalists, and this is any genre, I'm going with Aretha Franklin.
Yep.
Okay. So Aretha Franklin, like, set the tone. Like, she started a different style of singing. She started R&B singing. It's like she was moving around in the early to mid 60s.
Yeah.
Like, starting to sing like nobody had ever sang.
Yeah.
God gifted African American people with the ability to be athletic. They can sing, they have rhythm, they have time, they are tremendously talented in the arts. And it's crazy to me, right? Not that that's bad or anything, but she came around and changed the game.
Yeah.
She changed the game. Here's some things about Aretha. Rest her soul, August the 16th, which was just about a week ago. She passed away 1 year ago. August the 16th of 2018. She had... Here's a little bit of the list and why Aretha is at the top on Mount Rushmore for me. Beyond her vocal ability, the things that she accomplished as an artist, as a philanthropist, as a civil rights activist, all of these things. I mean, she went through some crazy times in history. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So here we go. Aretha, 112... singles on the Billboard charts.
Holy cow.
112 singles on the Billboard charts. 77 were in the Hot 100. Okay, so Billboard's 200. It's the top 200. Okay?
Yeah.
So then you make it into the Hot 100. There are people that we love that sing music that have never made the Hot 100.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
Okay?
Yeah.
She made 77 Hot 100s.
Wow.
Okay, she had 17 top 10s.
Amazing.
Okay, she had 100 R&B Hot 100s. Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, she had 20 number ones on the R&B charts. Okay, she is the most charted female in the history of Billboard.
I wonder how many different decades she charted in.
She charted into the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read it.
So, at least 3 decades, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she won 18 Grammy Awards.
Yep.
18. She won the first 8 ever Best Female Vocalist Grammy Awards.
Oh, wow. That is amazing.
So, can you see? She sold 75 million records.
There's no argument about Aretha. About just the sound that came out of her mouth. About her success, obviously, as an artist is unquestionable. Her influence through the decades is unquestionable. And I have to say that right up until yesterday... Aretha was on my Mount Rushmore.
Was it? That's awesome.
And then yesterday, I had this thought. Who influenced Aretha?
True.
Well, I got a name for you.
Hang on. Okay, go ahead. I was going to guess, but that's no fun.
So my George Washington is Etta James.
Oh, Etta. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she began in the... early-ish 50s, mid-50s, I think 54 or something like that was her first sort of charted appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone from Aretha to Whitney to Ariana Grande will cite her as an influence.
Right.
And so for much the same reason, maybe not as, critically, well, obviously she's critically acclaimed. Maybe not as well sold as Aretha. Well,
that stuff didn't exist back then.
Right. You
know, the Grammys weren't there.
But, I mean, she was performing into, like, the 2000s, like 2010, 2012, she was still playing.
50s
yeah.
to the 2010s.
So longevity, and listen, one of the great things that came out of the Mount Rushmore of female vocalists was that I sat down and listened to things like the essential Etta James.
Really?
And I'm telling you, man, you need to do that this week.
Yeah, you guys need to do it too, man.
Because you go, wow. Like, wow. So when you hear that, okay, here's this song that was recorded in 1954. And there are still people emulating that to this day.
Mm-hmm.
To right now. Turn on your radio. And the people who can sing like Etta James.
I love that.
The pop princesses, maybe not. But the ones who can sing, the ones that can get it done, that's a major influence.
Can we talk about Grande? She's not on my list because she doesn't have longevity yet.
Yep, not on my list either, but amazing.
But talent. I'm telling you, man, she sings Whitney.
Yeah.
She sings Etta James. She sings Mariah. She sings all these people, and she kills it.
Kills it.
So we're only, what, 8-10 years into Ariana Grande? Maybe 7.
Maybe. She's still a kid.
She's still a kid. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what a record label is going to make her do or
no.
anything like that.
But she's at a point where she's going to end up doing what she wants to do at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what I mean? Because she is...
can sing.
She's a certified success, and she's going to get to call her own shots.
Yeah.
She's 26 years old.
Gosh. She's got so much ahead. So I hope that as her career evolves,
right,
that we get to really watch her make some history. Because who are even your kids are a generation ahead of mine.
Yeah.
Who is my son gonna say when I was a kid, this was music. This chick can sing. Because when I am 10, I am listening to Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Because that chick can sing, man.
Yeah.
One of the greatest singers ever.
Yeah.
Okay? but I hope that we see the longevity. And that's what I worry about.
Yeah.
Like, the flash in the pan artists.
Well, let me just say, and, you know, maybe I'm an older person than you, so I have a little perspective on this.
Mm.
But you always think that the next generation of music isn't going to be as good. And I can tell you the next generation of music will be different, but there will be an audience for great music. There will be people of your son's generation who are musicians and music lovers, not casual music fans, who demand more from their artist than a cute outfit and a snappy video.
And lip syncing. Yeah.
You wouldn't know that from the VMAs last night because every single performance was lip-synced. But there will be people who emerge as true talent and true artists.
And I think, and even in the last couple of weeks, I've started listening to Shawn Mendes because you told me to, and then Trey told me to.
Yeah.
Did he lip-sync last night?
I don't know. Honestly, I
couldn't tell.
I didn't watch the whole thing because I'm 47 and I can't watch the entire VMAs.
The VMAs are a joke.
Ugh.
By the way, it's a joke. It's terrible.
Terrible.
Anyway, I think the kid's good.
He's good.
He can write a great, polished, awesome song. He can do it.
And
so,
and they're never going to be the most popular, those people, the people who take their art seriously and who take their musicianship seriously and their talent seriously. They're never going to be the most popular person at the moment. But, you know, you're going to turn around in 25 years and they're still going to be here. They're
Look
still
going to be Mayer. Making records. You think John Mayer's going away?
He's not going away.
Never. He's playing with the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
And I mean...
And, you know, he's still a known entity. He's Absolutely. Still a sellout, a 12,000 arena.
Yeah.
You know, 12,000 seat arena every night guy.
Yeah.
We should move on. We're 20 minutes in. Let's go.
All right.
Number two. Okay, so what I ended up settling on was going kind of genre to genre, right?
Okay. I did not.
Because you could easily just go Etta James, Aretha, Whitney, and Kelly Clarkson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you got all of these kind of diva kind of singers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're leaving a lot of stuff out of the mix there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So my number two, and I beat my head against the wall so many times with this. I went back and forth between two people over and over and over again because I wanted a rock singer in my list.
I almost put one in mine too.
I wanted a rock singer in my list. So to me, when I think of female rock singers that have stood the test of time, I think of two people. I think of Janis Joplin, and I think of Pat Benatar.
Yeah, I almost did Pat Benatar. I talked to Kimberly about that today.
And so I don't know which one I'm picking. I'm going to go with Pat Benatar because
I scribbled out Janis Joplin's name on my paper.
I have loved Pat Benatar since I was a little kid.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Maybe Pat Benatar doesn't deserve, in the grand scheme of things, to have her face next to Etta James on Mount Rushmore?
I don't think so, but it's you, man. You do.
But it's me, and I love Pat Benatar. I can't help it.
We were young.
She has 30 songs I love.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's a great, great singer. And listen, she was one of the original females to kind of break into the rock world. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously Janis was before her, but it's a short career.
Yeah, Janis is bluesy too, though.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a different time in the late 60s. It's a different time, man. Yeah.
And as far as, you know, passion and just singing what is coming out of your guts, it's obviously Janis. But if you're looking at vocal talent, Pat's a better singer.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. I do agree with that. That's a well-placed argument there. Do I think that Pat Benatar's on the Mount Rushmore of female vocalists of all time, spanning all genres? No. But do I like Pat Benatar? Absolutely. Do I listen to her all the time? Yes. My wife is a huge Pat Benatar fan.
I
have to hear it all the time.
I am too.
I've actually got into it a little bit. It's some good stuff.
There's some great songs.
Etch that one in Jimmy's Mount Rushmore. Here is mine. I'll go with number two for me. I don't have a bunch of stats, and honestly, none are needed. And right up there by Aretha, next face, I'm going with a Canadian singer named Celine Dion.
Yeah,
from Aretha to Celine. Okay, I'm talking about vocal ability. I just really brought it down to vocal ability.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Standing the test of time. She was a French singer, right? It's French Canadian. Yeah. So she was
French is her native language.
Right. Recently recorded a French album, which I haven't heard, but in doing work for this, I noticed that in 2018 she recorded a French album. So that would be weird. I can't hardly stand to hear people talking French. So let alone singing French. I can't do it. Anyway, so I won't be listening to that one. But Celine Dion signed a record deal in 1990 and blew everybody away. Honestly, it was something new, something different, kind of not... I don't know. It's like... early 70s Barbara Streisand, but on a level way, way, way beyond that. And Barbara Streisand could sing in her early days, man.
Yeah.
I seen some stuff on that, and she was great.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Great, great singer.
Yeah. But Celine Dion, to me, she sold over 250 million records. Aretha goes on there with 75 million records. That just shows you how music changes.
Yeah.
How radio changes things, how videos change things. But Celine Dion comes on, and I'm telling you, from 1990 until today, she brought Vegas back to life with residency music.
Yeah.
Okay, and
now everybody's
Britney's residency. There, the Eagles Aerosmith. Are there, Aerosmith is going there. Like, You can go on tour and be in the same place.
Yeah.
Every time and play to the world. It's amazing. And I don't know why.
$500 a seat every night.
Good for Celine.
Yeah.
You know why? Because that chick can sing, man. Yeah,
that's the thing I was going to say about her.
1990 till today.
I don't love her music, but they don't make notes that she can't sing.
No.
Like, you know, you can get people that can sing in their high register, and it's always impressive when somebody can hit the high note. But Celine's just as comfortable at the bottom of her ability as she is at the top. I mean, she can sing the bottom note of her range as beautifully as she can sing the top note of her range. And she's an incredible singer.
Yes. And if you guys have not listened to Celine Dion, don't listen to the radio cuts. I'm going to tell on myself. I am 10 to 12 years old. I can't really remember it. But I remember the first CD I ever owned. I got for Christmas, and it was Tim McGraw's CD, All I Want. It had like all it was All I Want. I Like It, I Love It was on it. But anyway, the second CD I ever got was Counting Crows, August and Everything After.
Yes.
And the third CD I ever owned in my entire life was a Celine Dion CD, because I loved the song The Power of Love. Cause I'm your lady, and you are my man. Right?
Yeah.
Crazy, weird. 11-year-old kid got a Celine Dion CD because something in my mind said, that chick can sing, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Man, I love that.
And ever since that day, I have followed, and everybody's been in the wormhole on YouTube, and you start watching Celine sing. It's go back
incredible.
And listen to some of that stuff. Yeah. Watch her live performances, not her CDs. Everybody can fake it on CD if they want to. Go watch the live stuff. It's amazing.
I have a little bit of a Celine story.
Okay.
The first time I remember seeing Celine Dion sing was on the Arsenio Hall show. The dog pound. And I'm telling you, I was probably, I don't know, 16, 17, somewhere in that ballpark. And I was absolutely floored by how great a singer she was.
Mm-hmm. And I've never heard that chick mess up.
No, I don't think she can. It's like she just can sing everything. And just like when you think she's at her last note, she's got one more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could tell she's trained, classically trained. Her posture when she sings, it's like if you watch a classical guitarist, they're very upright and they're very proper.
Right.
Because they have so much to do.
Yep.
And so with Celine, when she sings, you'll watch and she wears really tight clothes. And she's technically a very
good singer.
Yeah. She's not dancing around giving you show.
No, no.
Like she doesn't even need a band.
Yeah.
All you need to do is let her open her mouth.
Yep. Her show is in her throat. Every time.
Yes, it is. So, Jimmy, go number three.
Number three. God, I am still, like, whittling my list down. Sitting here looking at these names.
I just wrote four names and said, so this is my list.
So, I decided for some reason that I wanted a more modern face on Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
And
like mine?
Yes. Like yours, only pretty and with talent.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding.
You took a Wade, chunk of my heart.
If you've never seen Wade, he's beautiful.
Don't lie.
And so I went back and forth, and I actually even discussed it with my wife and some other people. We kind of went back and forth. And I finally settled on the, not like a super current, like not Ariana Grande, but I decided to put Kelly Clarkson on Mount Rushmore.
Okay. I can see that.
For a variety of reasons. Kelly Clarkson could go on American Idol and sing Aretha.
Yeah.
She could sing Whitney.
And she sang Whitney.
Yeah. And she's now, I don't know how long ago that was exactly off the top of my head. but she's had a substantial career.
So she'll be in the music business 20 years in 2021, because 2001 or 2 is when American Idol came out. She won season 1.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
And she's been, you know, fairly prolific. She's had an album every 18 to 24 months.
But let's talk about...
And hit songs everywhere.
Oh, well, she's got over 10 number ones, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that Kelly writes her music.
She writes
the majority of her music.
Yeah, a lot of it.
She does write music.
She's involved in it.
She does produce it. She gets the sound she wants.
She puts a record out and then goes on tour.
Yeah. She's a mom. She's a wife. She does this thing. She's doing The Voice and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, people are trying to sing like her.
Yeah.
People are saying, ooh, in the next 10 to 15 years, when kids are growing up, are they going to say, man, don't sing Kelly?
Yeah.
And so that makes sense to me.
That makes sense,
yeah. Don't sing Kelly.
Right.
Some of her poppy stuff is very simple.
It's just
very powerful.
But so she's not always out there trying to do the trick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She isn't a tricky singer. She's an amazingly great singer.
Yeah.
And she goes out and sings the song. If there are tricks to do, she will do them. And she can. But that's not her focus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hitting the whistle note isn't her thing. It's, you know, she sings full voice a lot.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Not a lot of falsetto, not a lot of fluff.
I just like it. I mean,
yeah, I'm there with you, man. I think that one will stand
the test. Absolutely. So
cool, interesting fact about Kelly Clarkson. When I was growing up, there was a Christian rock band called Pillar that were super heavy for their time. And their drummer is now the drummer for Kelly Clarkson. I found that online the other day. Some random
interesting
fact, but he's killing it. And chick sounds good, man.
Yeah, oh, she's amazing. She is amazing.
I love that, man. I agree with you.
Shout out to my wife for choosing Kelly, because it was seriously a coin flip for me.
Kelly between, and Pink?
But, yep, Kelly and Pink. And I was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and there's so much to love about both of those ladies. They're so amazingly talented, both of them. You know, you think about that Lady Marmalade cover that they did with all of the, you know, great singers of the time.
Maya, Christina, Lil' Kim,
and Pink. Okay, and Pink sings every one of those people under the table on that track.
Oh, it's the fry in her voice.
Yeah.
It's the raspiness of that voice that attracts people to it. I'm telling you.
And the attitude and the sass and the this is who I am. I am not a pop princess. I am me.
Yeah. I totally get it. And so Pink was something that I discussed with my wife too. I'm like, man, Pink. And then I showed her the new stuff from Pink that's actually from 2014 with that guy that I showed you the other day.
Yeah, I listened to that over the week. Yeah.
Very cool, mellow, chill. But man, that voice.
Great
voice. Fantastic.
Great
Pink,
voice.
If there was like 8 people.
Right.
You know, and maybe in 10 years, if we ever do this again, maybe we'll try again.
Oh, Mount Rushmores are dreadful.
I'm going to go with number 3. My number 3, you cannot leave this lady off. I just couldn't do it. There's absolutely no way. Rest in peace. My third face is Whitney Houston. I had to, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
Whitney... unbelievable tone, control. She was kind of the start of like this poppy, like diva, this diva era in the early 90s.
Right.
But she had her vices and she had her demons and she had some stuff that ruined her voice.
Yeah.
Like today,
cut her career tragically short.
Yeah.
There's nowhere near enough Whitney at full power in the universe.
No, but you have to go back to 89 to 94.
Yeah.
And look up Whitney Houston Live 1991. Just Google it or YouTube it.
Yeah.
And watch.
Yeah.
Because now this is one of the things. I was like, okay, they were influential at their time, but are they influential now? No, she's not influential now as being relevant to making music, But do people still fear singing Whitney's song? Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. For the sure. bar was set way too high.
Yeah.
And do I think Whitney will leave a lasting impact on female singers for the rest of time? I believe so.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe so. I think it's not that she had a 5-octave range like Mariah or somebody like that. It's not. I mean, and there are singers that we're not even mentioning.
Oh, so
the gospel, many. The gospel realm of singing. Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, oh yeah!
Like there are some fantastic gospel singers, Southern gospel singers.
It's amazing how many great voices there have been in all genres of music through time.
You right. know,
it's unfathomable almost.
So you can understand how hard this was for us, but Whitney will live on. Whitney is making a difference, even in her passing and the tragic passing.
Right.
She's still making a difference today, and that's why she's on. And her voice. I mean, she didn't. If you make it look effortless, or you can sing the phone book and right. make it sound good, I think you need to be there.
Absolutely.
So that's yep. that's my third face.
For sure. And Whitney was on my Mount Rushmore for a long time. Just because. I don't know. Maybe it's my generation. I don't know what that'll look like in 20 years from now. But she is the icon of my youth when it comes to female singers. There's sure. no question about it.
Yep.
My final face, and after a much lot of debate, I decided to make for the sandwich, you know, for the breads on the sandwich to be Etta James. And my last face is Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, wow. You old soul.
That's old school, man. But I'm telling you, there's so much to find in there. There's so much sort of... she used kind of the scat sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where runs came from.
Yeah.
That these iconic voices have used since. That up and down, round and round a note, finding a little piece of melody to just sort of hum at the end.
Right.
That's Ella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is Ella. That is not, you know what I mean? That's where it, you know, it's evolved over time, but that's where Etta James got it. That's where Aretha got it. That's where Whitney got it. That's where Pink and Kelly Clarkson got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Christina got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it came from. In my estimation.
Right. I'm with Ella, you.
There's no argument that she is probably the beginning of it all. I'm sure she was influenced by somebody, but just listening to those old recordings over this week have been as much fun as you can have. She had so much fun making music. And her voice is just perfect all the time. And she doesn't just grab a note and hold it. She grabs this note and that note and this note right here and that note right over there. She grabs it and pulls it into.
You're going to make me want to dig, man.
I gotta listen to some of this stuff. Fun to listen to, man.
I love that. I think sometimes we need to get out of our holes.
Yeah.
you know, I have this box that I like to dig in.
Yeah. I listen to way too much rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In the course of my day. And just pulling this... trying to find some of these, you know, pulling these old names out of my head and like, well, let me listen to this. You know, let me listen to 10 Ella Fitzgerald tunes in succession.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man, there's so much gold in there. It is so much fun. Man.
I'm so glad that this helped you do that.
I loved it. It's my favorite part about this, despite the agony. That part was worth it. You know what I mean?
There's not much agony. We have a heck of a time.
Yeah.
And we both say it's one of the highlights of our week. So,
for sure.
We're going a little over our time limit this week, but man, this is fun.
You got one more name, right?
I do have one more name.
One more face.
And let me be nice and bland, but I think 20 years ago, we were introduced to this chick that I think will be around for a very long time, and that is Christina. I went with Aretha, Celine, Whitney, and Christina.
Yeah. It's so hard to argue.
Yeah. Christina Aguilera, she went through a crazy phase. I mean, she was a pop teen princess.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything, sang what they told her to sing.
Yep.
And as time has gone on, now she's a mother, she's a wife, she's going to grow up. Man, I don't know what's going to be next. I hope my thing with Christina is I hope that she just has a record where she can just sing.
Yeah.
Where she can, she don't have to dance around and you don't have to put on a show for me, Christina. Yeah. Just sing.
Yeah.
Just do your thing because.
Don't worry about the outfit.
No, there's not a lot of people that can touch her right now. She can sing the phone book backwards in French, and I'll be fine with it.
Absolutely. Literally. Incredible singer. She was on my list.
Yeah.
I had so many names.
An honorable mentions like rundown.
Yeah. You know, Aretha, obviously. Janis, I mentioned. Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. I wanted Stevie Nicks too, but she's not like
what about
fantastic
this
vocally.
I know, but what about this name? Amy Winehouse.
I know, I seen it too.
Who do I pick?
But, honestly, if you ask a 19-year-old kid right now who Amy Winehouse is, they're not going to know.
Probably not going to know. Again, she's tragically short.
Tragically short.
I mean, Whitney was around longer than Amy, but still was not. There aren't enough recordings of either one of them.
No. Do you think that Amy Winehouse was the sort of one of the really popular voices that sounded like that? You know what I'm talking about? That indie type.
Right.
That voice. Did I want to go rehab? Right?
Yeah.
Like that really bluesy, weird thing that you can't put your head around.
Oh, I know, man. I'll tell you another name I had a really hard time leaving off. Alison Krauss.
I love Alison Krauss.
Oh, man. Her voice is like the angels. I mean, honestly, it's like heaven. It's like melted butter.
Why are there only four faces on this mountain?
I don't know. We need a bigger mountain.
But honestly, that's different. We completely botched the country genre. We completely snubbed them, except for Kelly. Kelly has sang with Reba and done some things there, but the country's genre.
I mean, Trisha Yearwood is an incredible singer. Dolly is a prolific songwriter and singer and performer.
And Dolly's been around forever.
And she would look great carved into a mountain.
Yeah. That hair is huge. And
she has a huge personality.
Personality and hair and nose and everything.
Yeah.
So, Loretta Lynn.
Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
Patsy Cline. Patsy Cline's not on the list.
Yeah, yeah. And why is that? Why do you think that is? It's because country is simplistic.
Well, yeah.
It's very simplistic. There's no runs. There's no high notes. There's no nothing. It's very like...
Yeah.
Why'd you come in here looking like that with your cowboy boots and your faded old jeans?
Yeah.
Right? Just singing.
Yeah.
But the tone of her voice is fantastic. I mean, country is a different beast. It's a
different animal.
It's very hard to say that a country artist... I mean, look at Carrie, though.
I know.
I don't know.
I used to watch Carrie's American Idol pretty religiously, right? And the only time that I ever saw an audition on American Idol and said, that girl's going to win, was Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
The first time I heard her sing, I went, this is over. She's going to win.
Good luck, Bo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to sniff that because she was so incredible.
Yes. Let's talk about Carrie real quick. Carrie didn't make it yet. Carrie's still trying to do country. But I have heard Carrie do Loretta. I've heard her do probably Whitney. She can sing anything.
She can sing.
She's fantastic.
She can sing.
But I will tell you, the best performance I've ever heard Carrie Underwood give is her singing and Vince Gill playing the guitar. And they sing How Great Thou Art. You got to YouTube that, dude.
Oh, man.
Because I don't...
Whatever your affiliations are, if that does not make the hair stand up on your neck, you do not have hair on your neck.
I cry.
Yeah.
I cry every time. I've seen it 100 times.
It's incredible.
And she sings it, honestly, if I can say this word on our podcast, which I think I can, because she believes in Jesus and they follow whatever religion they want to, but honestly, it's anointed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can see it. And Vince is the same way. He married Amy Grant. So, I mean, right. there is some of that Christian gospel flow that happens. Yeah,
there's a little something deeper than just the sound coming out of your mouth.
It's like your roots.
Yeah.
It's like she was going back home for a minute. But, man, we could sit here and talk about great singers. There are fantastic singers we haven't even mentioned and don't get enough recognition. But yeah.
So reach out to us over the next few days and let us know who we left off.
Please do. Follow us on Twitter, okay? The Music Box Pod, okay? Follow us. We got a couple of followers this week. We're trying to get a footprint on Twitter, but it's pretty tough. You guys tweet us, text us. Let us know, share this podcast with your friends. We want to get involved with you guys. Leave us a message on the Anchor app. You can actually leave a voice message there right when you're done listening and say, hey, you forgot about this.
Yeah.
Just do it. We want you guys to be involved. And
we really appreciate you listening.
Yeah, absolutely. We went a little over, about 15 minutes this week.
Or so.
But that's all right. We're talking about our Mount Rushmore.
We still don't have time. Oh!
Oh!
New stuff. I found, I completely discovered an artist this week just from researching female vocalists, Sabrina Claudio.
Sabrina Claudio.
She has an album called About Time that came out in 2017, I believe. Yeah, 2017. She's got some new stuff out. I listened to About Time completely through. It is phenomenal.
Yeah, super good.
An incredible singer. And listen, if you're into that R&B thing, if you have a significant other and you're looking for something to listen to while you're just sitting around by candlelight, this is the record to listen to. It will make you smile.
It'll make you smile. That's the edited version.
Inside.
But awesome, man. I actually have not heard anything new that's like super catchy or caught my eye, so I'm gonna pass.
Well, all right. Do yourself a favor and listen to Ella Fitzgerald this week.
Ella, I'm just gonna go back to Ella Fitzgerald this week. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to the Music Box Podcast. We appreciate you guys very much. That's our Mount Rushmore. We carved it in. Boy. And tell us if you like it or if you don't, and give us your opinion. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good week.